for Vox Pop, the show that travels America to bring you the voice of the people. Thanks to the makers of
Broma Delta.
Tonight, Vox Pop travels to Riverside Drive in New York City to the famous International House, the American home of many hundreds of students from practically every country on Earth. And here are your two Vox Poppers, Parks Johnson and Warren Hull. Come in, International House.
This is Parks Johnson.
And this is Warren Hull. It's a wonderful feeling, folks, to be here completely surrounded by students from 48 different nations, all living together in this world-famous International House.
Not only students from faraway countries, Warren, but the percentage of American students always live here, too. It's like a big social hotel. Their dances, teas, and other special events draw them close together, and each learns to know and respect his neighbor.
We know you'll catch our enthusiasm for these visitors to our country as you meet some of them tonight.
Come on, Warren, let's get going. Who is our first Vox Popper?
Well, the first one is one we are very glad to meet. She's an old friend of ours who was on Vox Pop 2 years ago at Penn State. From Warsaw, Poland, Miss Irena Iger. Irena, if I remember, you were studying food chemistry at Penn State, weren't
That's
you?
That's right.
Mm-hmm. What's happened since?
Well, I came to New York to work on a war project.
The Manhattan Project?
No. Something of a more peaceful kind on anti-malaria drugs.
Oh, well, that was very important in itself. What are you doing now?
I'm working for my doctor's degree in chemistry.
Mm-hmm.
I had a fellowship from the AAUW, and I'm continuing now by teaching at the same time freshman chemistry.
You're teaching freshman chemistry?
Yes, I'm trying to.
Do you like it?
I love it.
Well, I'll bet your pupils are very attentive.
Sometimes too attentive.
What do you mean?
Well, they try to get on the good side of me by trying to date me and things like that.
Well, I don't blame them.
Well, it would get a little bit complicated if I would.
Yes, I'll take your word for that. You said that you were working for your doctors here. What sort of chemistry?
Enzymes.
Enzymes?
Yeah.
What are they?
Well, they catalysts.
Catalysts? All right, I'll bite on that one. What are catalysts?
Well, they do help things happen that wouldn't happen otherwise. If that explains things.
They just... All right, we'll drop that. Where have you been in this country?
Well, mostly in the eastern part of the United States and in the eastern part of Canada.
Mm-hmm. Where do you want to go?
Of course, California.
What? Some boosters here. What? Yeah, then you know California.
I know a few.
What do you think of them?
Well, they like Europeans. They always root for their part of the country. Everything that's good, it's from California. Everything that's from California has to be good.
That's all right, Chamber of Commerce. Are you married yet, Irena?
No.
Well, is there any chance that you will be?
Not unless I find somebody that lets me go on with my chemistry at the same time.
Well, do you think that men don't like career women?
They don't seem to.
Well, I can't believe it. Well, do you think that being a wife isn't a full-time job, then, huh?
Well, not in the present conditions, I don't think so.
What do you mean, present conditions?
Well, I mean that all the appliances that you use to keep house and so on are so advanced that you don't spend all day cleaning house and cooking for your dear husband when he comes home after work.
Well, I don't know what to say to that. I wanted to ask you, Irena, about the 48 countries represented in the people living here in the International House. How do they get along, all right?
Oh, fine.
They
have different points of view on many things, but we respect each other's opinions, and we understand if somebody doesn't think the way we do.
Well, couldn't the same thing happen on a larger scale, perhaps between the nations of the world?
Maybe if the politicians wouldn't meddle so much.
Well, I wonder if there are any politicians listening. What feature...
I hope not.
What feature of International House do you like most, Irena?
I guess the waffle wing.
The waffle wing? What's that?
Well, it's a place where you can sit down and talk your head off.
Yeah. And eat waffles?
You don't have to eat waffles. You usually just eat nothing. You just sit and talk.
Well, and that perhaps is where you work out a lot of the world's problems right there and get along so well?
Yeah, that's where we get to know each other so well.
You know, I think it's a good idea. We ought to start a string of international waffle wings, don't you think?
I think so.
Irena, I just got started talking with you. We've really got to go on now and listen to some of these other people from some of the other 48 nations. But just want to say we need more people like you around the world. It's a pleasure to talk with you again. And now, Stroma Seltzer has for you, very nice words. First, this gorgeous alligator handbag. It's suede line, very smart. And in it, you'll find several good-sized bills for your pet project. You know, we find out a lot of things about people. The project of helping Polish students who have had their education interrupted go back to school again. Good luck to you.
Thank you very much.
Thanks again, Irena Iger.
Thank you.
Folks, we want you to meet now a man who has had a very busy and a very interesting life up to now. He came to the United States in 1940 to study, but very soon he pitched in and did a mighty good job for us during the war. He's back at Columbia University now working on his doctor's degree. Folks, from Aligarh, India, Mr. Mudassir Ali Shamsi. Is that nearly right? Just for comparison, will you pronounce those names for me? Let me see how nearly I came to it.
Mudassir Ali Shamsi.
I was very close, wasn't I? Mr. Shamsi, do you recall your first day in the United States?
Oh, well, the first day was several hundred hours, in fact, because I traveled from San Francisco to New York on a bus.
Oh, I see.
And it so happened that when I was in Cleveland, the bus missed me.
Oh.
And I thought that practically all I possessed was lost. So with a very sad face, I went to the agent of the Greyhound bus and told him what had happened. So he said, just have a cab and good American way, chase the bus till you find it. And I couldn't find it, had to come back, and the fare was about $20 or something or other. Well, but the man proved so nice to me that it was the finest introduction I could have to American people.
That was a nice introduction, yes.
The Greyhound bus company paid the fare all right, and the man took half day off from his work and put me in his car and showed me around in Cleveland.
Ah. Well, how about your first night when you got to New York?
Well,
where did you come? Right here?
I came direct to the International House, and it was evening, and I was as hungry as a wolf.
Yes. You don't look like a wolf. He nudged me wickedly on the word wolf. Go right ahead, Mr. Shamsi.
Well, I went down to the cafeteria, and that was the first cafeteria I saw in my life, and the man who was showing me around said, just pick one of every kind. So by the time I was through, I had enough food for about four people.
Yeah.
Well, I went in and we started eating. I was introduced to fellows sitting, girls and boys sitting on a long table, at a long table, and there we just got into the mood of it. I started eating at about 7:30 or so. And the next we knew of was that there was Mr. Alexander with his keys, closing time, and it was...
You're at
about... about 4 hours you were sitting there talking of the whole world.
Well, let's get back to your country just a minute. Where is Aligarh?
Aligarh is near Delhi, some 80 miles south of Delhi.
What kind of country?
Oh, it is like your Midwest. The people produce wheat and eat millet.
I hear that there's a lot of big game in that area and that you are a big game hunter.
Yes, the big game is about 150 miles from Aligarh, below the Himalayas.
What kind of game?
Oh, big game means any game that you can shoot besides human beings.
I think we ought to take that up for a change. Such as boar, I know you have, and tigers.
Yes, wild boar. I am fond of killing wild boar if I don't get killed.
Are they that dangerous?
Oh, of course they are. I mean, a wild boar is the most ferocious masculine character there is.
Yeah? You know, do you, from experience?
Oh, of course. It so happened once that I was out shooting one of these little creatures, and I saw a blue bull, a beautiful thing, and there I put a slug into the head of that blue bull, and I thought that I should go to get the bull out. The country was uneven, and not looking down what I was doing, I was looking at the bull, of course. I jumped down into a gully. It was about 4 or 5 feet below the level where I was standing from. And lo and behold, what did I jump upon? It was a wild boar.
Oh, gee. You got out of it because here you are.
Well, I got out of it more because of the accident, or probably the wild boar got nervous too, you see. He ran away and he didn't attack, because otherwise it was practically my grave there.
Well, I'm glad you got out of that. Tell me, you came here in 1940 and you went with the government. What department?
Well, I worked for some time with the Office of War Information in New York and Washington, and then with the Office of Strategic Services,
OSS. OSS. They call it something else.
Oh, OSS. Oh, so secret.
Oh, so secret. You went overseas?
Yes.
Where?
I was with OSS in Ceylon, India, and Burma.
In uniform?
In American uniform.
I see. I suppose your OSS work is still secret.
Well, of course, the government says so, and we believe in it.
All right, we won't go into that. Now, what are you studying at Columbia?
I'm studying psychology at Teachers College.
Do you give lectures or talks by any chance on India and the people there?
Oh, yes. That is one of the sidelines that I pursue. I speak on the Indian people and Indian politics and the problems over there in order to inform the American audience of the progress of the things at home.
From what standpoint?
It so happens that I do not represent the British point of view, nor do I represent the point of view of Mr. Gandhi and Nehru, which is the Congress Party point of view. And I like to present the point of view of 100 million people in India called the Mohammedans, the Muslim League point of view.
I see. Well, I'd like to catch you on some of those lectures sometime. Maybe I will. Maybe folks listening to you now would like to hear it too.
It will be a pleasure to have you amongst my audience.
Thank you, Mr. Shamsi. Well, Raj Brackett is having a fit back of me, so that says it's time to say from
goodbye.
Good old Bromo Seltzer, our secret operatives have found out two things that we think you'd really like to have. First, it's Amido. Amido, it's a Hunter Special 17-jewel waterproof, shockproof, self-winding wristwatch. Can you use it? There it is.
Boy.
Now, wait a minute. That's not all. And this I do envy you. Here's a Savage High Power 300 Big Game Rifle.
Wonderful. Thank you. Bromo Seltzer is wonderful, brother.
That is the same high-power rifle as Savage has shipped many, many, many times over into India. Big game hunters have been using that Savage over there.
Thank you.
Mr. Shamsi. Enjoy talking to you. Okay, Warren. Now it's swell to have the whole family gathered around the festive board. But better be ready for pitfalls, says Dick Joy.
Yes, Warren, overdoing a good thing is a common failing when Thanksgiving dinner is served. Take the case of Joe F.
Boy, oh boy, look at that bird. Big helping for me, Mom.
10 minutes later.
Say, was that good? Let's have seconds.
And at dessert time.
Mince pie? Sure. Big piece, too.
But after dinner, Joe's not so enthusiastic.
Oh, game of bridge? Mm-mm, not for me. I don't know where I got this upset stomach. My head aches, too.
Well, folks, of course the moral is take it easy. But if Thanksgiving afternoon finds you with an upset stomach, take a tip. Take fast-dissolving, fast-acting Bromo Seltzer. Bromo Seltzer is easy, refreshing to take. No dry, bulky tablets to swallow. No tedious waiting for something to dissolve. Dissolve before you drink it. Bromo Seltzer's all set for speedy three-way action. Helps relieve head, stomach, and nerves quick as a wink. There's a size for every purse, so carry Bromo Seltzer wherever you go. Get a bottle of Bromo Seltzer from your druggist tonight. Then, next time headache strikes,
fight headache three ways.
Bromo Seltzer, Bromo Seltzer, Bromo Seltzer, Bromo Seltzer.
Thanks a lot, Dick Joy. And now back to International House on Riverside Drive. You know, there are four such houses in the world, one in New York, one in Chicago, one in Berkeley, California, and one in Paris. And their motto, that brotherhood may prevail, is certainly needed now more than ever before in the world's history. From one of the world's large countries we know little about come these two young ladies. They're roommates at International House. Their homes are in the Union of South Africa, the Mrs. Betty Hutton and Jean Kramer.
Thank you.
Say, Betty, I was just wondering if you have trouble being introduced as the blonde bombshell.
Yes, lots of times. Always the blonde bombshell.
Well, only you're just not blonde, that's all.
Well.
But you're bombshell.
Maybe.
Well, Jean, I know you're from Lindock near Cape Town. Is that right?
That's right.
But, Betty, you'll have to help me with your hometown.
It's a farming district called Swagger's Hook.
How do you spell that?
Z-W-A-G-E-R-S-H-O-E-K.
That's
nice.
Not Z-W-E-K.
Well, anyway, you see why I needed help on that one. Where is this farming district?
It's about 650 miles from Cape Town.
Mm-hmm. Is it near the diamond or the lion country?
Well, more the lion country. There are not many diamonds around our way. Only sheep.
I see. Well, you live on a ranch, then?
Yes, on a farm.
How about you, Jean?
Well, I live on a farm, too, but we only farm for flowers.
For flowers?
Mm-hmm.
Very lovely. Say, you found out since you came here that we don't know much about your country?
Yes, we have found that out, all right.
Definitely.
Well, what are some of the misconceptions when people meet you?
Well, they're surprised that we speak English.
Yeah? Mm-hmm. Well, what do you think are the most wonderful things about South Africa?
Oh, I should think the scenery. It's absolutely beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Anything you want to mention, Betty?
Well, the climate and the mountains. We miss the mountains very much in this country.
Well, you'll get around here. You'll see a couple. I just want to say that you do have one of the world's greatest statesmen there in South Africa.
Umyani, yes, we have him. He's lovely.
Umyani, that's what you call him?
That's what he is to us, yes.
I see. Uncle John.
That's right.
How long have you been here?
Just on 8 weeks.
Eight weeks.
Not quite.
You do speak English very well. How did you...
Thank you.
How did you come over?
We came in a freighter. We had a wonderful trip. An American freighter.
You mean to say that it wasn't rugged on that freighter?
Oh, it was pretty rugged, but we enjoyed it.
Well, when you first arrived here in New York, did you find it rather formidable?
Yes, we were just terrified. It's the first time we'd been on our own.
Yeah. So, what were you terrified of, aside from being alone?
Huh? The taxis, most of all, they absolutely stunned us.
I don't blame you. What do you think of American men?
Well, we don't know.
Go on.
That's a leading question. We don't like the whistling.
What? What do you mean? Oh, you don't like that. Well, I don't blame them for making that noise. What else? There's something that you like here, isn't there?
Yes, lots.
What?
Well, whenever they take you out, they give you flowers, and they seem to put you up on a pedestal, which our men don't do.
Oh, you like American men. Do you ever listen to the radio here?
Oh, yes, we listen. We were quite amazed at first. We'd never had programs like that at home.
Well, you mean no commercials?
No, none at all.
Uh-huh.
Practically BBC.
Well, you know what promo seltzer means now, don't you?
Yes, we know.
Well, were you friends in South Africa?
No, we met on board.
Mm-hmm. And why did you come over here?
Oh, we came over to specialize.
On what?
On speech correction.
Oh, and when you finish that, what are you going to do?
We want to go, if we've got the money, we want to go to the deep south and out west. Mm-hmm. And then if there's any money left, we want to go to England. Mm-hmm. And then we want to go home.
And teach there?
Well, at clinics,
mm-hmm.
hospitals.
Well, we hope you'll go back to South Africa, a firm friend of ours, I'll tell you that.
Oh, I'm sure we will.
Now, perhaps someday we'll come over to South Africa and box pop you again.
That's a wonderful idea.
Well, just so you'll remember us pleasantly, Bromo Seltzer has for you, Jean, this Mido ladies' wristwatch. It's lovely, and it's 14-karat gold with 17 jewels. And Betty, here's something that you can use in the apartment that you hope you'll find. You probably won't find the apartment, but you'll like this. It's a tea set in Lenox, China, the aristocrat of American China. And since you two sort of parallel each other so in so many ways, here is a suit for each of you. Jean, this lime green all-row. Good job, Mr. Morgan. And Betty, this beige gabardine, also from Auburn, is for you. Do you like them?
Thank you very much. They're lovely.
Thank you, and good luck to you, Mrs. Betty Hutton and Jean Kramer. Okay, Park.
Now we want you to meet a young lady who lives in one of the world's most beautiful spots. She came over here to work in her country's consulate in New York and to study. Folks, from Lucerne, Switzerland, Miss Hedy Schaub. When did you first come to the United States, Miss Schaub?
in 1937.
Did the folks back home want you to come?
No, they were frightened to death. First of all, they wondered, why should I want to go to America?
Uh-huh.
Because, you see, only black sheep in the family go.
Oh.
And then they thought, well, now, if I do go to Louisiana, it will be just awful to see me coming back tattooed and with feathers.
But you did go back and then came back again in 1940, I understand.
Yes, I missed the Americans so badly, I had to come back.
Yeah, that's nice of you to say that. What was the first English expression you ever learned?
You think I could say it?
Let's see.
Well, good night, sweetheart.
Yes? Well, where did you learn that?
Well, you see, on our skiing weekends, we used to end up in a little cafe where they had an American band.
Oh, with a dance, huh?
And the last thing they played was always Goodnight, Sweetheart.
I see. So that was your first thing. Tell me about your family. What did your dad do?
Well, may I just say, we all thought that a country who had such nice songs to go to bed with would be worth looking at. So
well, thanks. We're glad you like it, and I hope I can come to your country someday so I can tell you some nice things. Tell me about your dad.
Well, my father works for the Swiss Federal Railroad.
Is the father the boss at home in Switzerland?
Is he?
I'm asking. You stay right in the front of the microphone. Well, he might hear you, but go ahead.
Well, I'd rather not, because, children at home are only to be seen and not to be heard.
The original quotation on that, I think, was had to do with women, not children. That's. Did you live right in Lucerne, that beautiful place?
No, we live on a hill.
How far?
About 2.5 miles from the.
Did you work downtown?
Yes, I worked downtown.
It's a long ride up that hill on a bicycle, isn't it?
Well, you have to walk.
Oh, you walked it?
Mm-hmm. Of course, if you are rich, you can take a bus, but that costs a nickel, so we walk.
And you walk twice a day?
Four times.
You went home to lunch, huh?
Absolutely.
Ah, but the weekends you didn't mind. I bet you went on ski trips.
Oh, every weekend.
Wonderful.
Oh, just grand, you see.
Did you have a long run?
Well, sometimes, the longest ones are to 10 miles, but I think the nicest thing really is your family gets the rest.
Oh, there's something to that. See, I can't go into too much detail on that because, we've got a fine gentleman behind us here. I want to skip on to something else. Does everybody over there yodel, though? Let me find out about that in Switzerland.
Well, everybody expects us to, most of us know some of it, if not beautiful, loud.
Loud, if not beautiful, but they all yodel, do they? Are you going anywhere near returning home?
Yes, I shall return home early next year.
Yeah?
Early next summer.
Are you going to be here Christmas?
No, I would like to spend Christmas with the Mexicans.
Oh, you plan to go down there, do you?
Yeah.
Oh, you're going to like it down there, too. That's a wonderful country and beautiful country, too. You're going to like that. And now, Miss Hedyshaw, I've got to pass on a couple of things, however, before I do, that Broma Seltzer wants me to pass on to you, and we hope you'll enjoy using. First of all, it's a brand new, strong, but lightweight Hermes portable typewriter for your feature stories. We know
you
feel well, you like it. And next, for your trip to Mexico, we knew you were going, this stunning all-wool, Carl Red Strook coat. You know what a Strook is, of course. Thank you a lot, Miss Betty Shaw.
Now, a few words from a man who doesn't hesitate to speak his mind, our friend Dick Joy.
Well, Warren, it's all very well to keep some things on the QT, but when you come to Bromo Seltzer, that's something to shout about. Why, folks have relied on Bromo Seltzer for nearly 60 years for fast, dependable headache relief. A trust that's well-founded. For here's one headache relief that's always the same in purity and dependability. Thanks to Emerson Drug Company's special product control. Compounded by registered pharmacists in one of America's most modern laboratories, Bromo Seltzer's quality and uniformity are absolutely guaranteed. Repeated laboratory analyses, step-by-step inspection checks, further guard Bromo Seltzer's quality. From selected bulk materials to the filling and special protective sealing of each bottle of Bromo Seltzer. So buy Bromo Seltzer. Get fast, comforting, dependable three-way relief. Caution, use only as directed. For persistent or recurring headaches, see your doctor. But for ordinary headache relief, try Bromo Seltzer, the split-second dissolving effervescent. Get a bottle of speedy Bromo Seltzer from your druggist tonight and
fight headache three-way.
Bromo Seltzer, Bromo
attaboy, Dick Joy, and now back again to International House on Riverside Drive. And at one time, the Germans would have given a lot to get their hands on this man who's standing beside me, and they would have had a handful, too. He's big. And he's old for a student. He's 39. From Copenhagen, Denmark, the second in command of the Special Resistance Forces there during the war, Paul Meyer. Paul, you look as though you eat well.
Oh, that's camouflage, you know.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Very good job of it. You look very good-natured, too, but I guess you've had to be tough at times.
Oh, sometimes you have to.
Say, Paul, will you stand a little closer? Because, you know, you're getting a recording of this interview to play for your family, so make it good.
Oh, that's fine.
Get right in there. You were in at the beginning of the resistance movement. I guess you can talk about it now, can't you?
Oh, yes. Now, sure, on time after.
Well, tell us some of the things that your group did.
You see, we started in 1941. The British, they sent over parachutists, which came down in Jutland, and they came to Copenhagen.
Mm-hmm.
It was a friend of mine who came over there as number fours. The three first, they were caught. Two of them were shot, and one of them, he took poison himself. Mm-hmm. Then came my friend, and he looked me up in my office and asked me if I would join him in the job against the Germans.
And you knew what
I should say I would. Oh, yes, I did. I know I had to take the risk,
mm-hmm.
but we had to fight them.
Surely. Well, I'll go on and tell about some of the things that the groups did.
Well, we made up groups all around the cities in order to make sabotage.
Mm-hmm.
And we did it mostly through the older Boy Scouts in Denmark. We have a special form, St. George Guild, it's called, and that's 2,000 former Boy Scouts who are situated in the different province towns of Denmark. And we contacted one in each city, and they took over the jobs of making smaller groups of people whom they knew they could trust. And
did you get supplies from overseas?
Yes. The British, the Englishmen, they sent over airplanes at certain times. Every night in the radio, in the daily news, we got greetings to, and then came names on Danish names, Peter, Greed, and so on. And then we knew that, for instance, 2 days later, at a certain time, at a certain point, we had got about 150 different places located all over Denmark. There would be a parachute landing.
Well, that kept you out at sort of all hours, didn't it?
Oh, yes. We worked during the night, too, sometimes. I wasn't in charge of that. We had special groups for that.
Did your wife know that you were in this group?
No, not at first. And she was somewhat suspicious now and then when I got home far late.
That was another one of the hazards of that job.
Oh, yes.
What are you here? We're awfully glad that you came out of it all right, Paul. I wanted to ask you before we close what you're here to study.
I'm studying merchandising.
Mm-hmm. And what are your plans?
Oh, that's to see if we can get some Danish products over here to the States.
Mm-hmm.
Denmark is rather intact in cattle and the production of Denmark. That is already rather high.
Well, we could use a lot of them, I'll tell you. I'd like some of that butter myself.
Oh, you'll
Paul,
get it.
You're a stout fellow in more ways than one, and we're glad you're among us. Now, Bromo Seltzer has for you this Parker 51 gold pen and pencil set to help you with your schoolwork, and this beautiful 1946 model Electromatic table model radio.
Oh.
And knowing that there's no clothing over there in Denmark, here are some things to put in your Christmas box for your family. For Mrs. Meyer, a wool scarf, a pair of wool gloves, and a box of assorted stockings. For your 14-year-old son, a cheap lined jacket with a fur collar.
Oh.
For each of your little girls, 6 and 4, a warm, snowproof ski suit. And to help fill the toy department, there's a B-17 model airplane kit for the boy and for the girls, real mama dolls in red Tyrolean costumes. They sleep, they cry. Let's go on, pitch it, Buzz.
Aren't you glad I haven't got 8 children?
There it is. Thanks a lot, Paul Meyer. Good luck to you.
Folks, it's wonderful being with these International House people. Wonderful.
Next week, Vox Pop goes to Charlotte, North Carolina. We're going to help the folks down there get ready for their big annual December 8th Shrine Crippled Children's Football Game.
Yes, sir. We and they promise you a lively half hour next Monday. Don't forget to tune in. Good night, folks.
So long, everybody.
Be sure to join Vox Pop, the show that travels America, next Monday night, same time, same station, when Parks and Warren visit Charlotte, North Carolina. But remember, next time an ordinary headache strikes, get three-way relief fast.
Fight headache three ways.
This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.